a down day today, but a pretty good performance for stocks so far this year. What are you advising your clients?
Well, this rally that's sort of come out of nowhere, kind of started on at the base of sell in May and go away, which was the wrong strategy, seems to have gotten a lot of people off guard. Right now, we think long term we're very bullish for a couple of reasons, but short term we don't think this is a particularly good entry point. Complacency is very high, and that means valuations are not particularly attractive.
Now, so you say it's not a good place to get in. Are you anticipating that we're going to see a downdraft here?
Well, we don't predict the future, but we do think that in the past when equities have been at this level and this level of complacency and the fact that we have a lot of problems ahead of us to deal with, the fiscal cliff being one of them, as well as the ongoing concerns in Europe, as you mentioned, and the slowdown in China growth, at some point reality will hit and this sort of sugar high that we're on because of QE3, we think, will dissipate.
It's a sugar high, but the intention, as we heard from Dean Mackey a little bit earlier on, is to support financial markets and particularly risk assets, and you don't think this is going to counter the sugar high?
Well, it's certainly, we're in a risk-on mode, and that has actually also combined with the U.S. being perceived as a safe haven over the past several months. It's kind of run its course, in our opinion, and we, although we see some really positive things long-term, in the short-term, we think that patient investors will be rewarded with a better entry point.
Okay, so what do you do with your money then?
Well, that's a very difficult question because interest rates are zero. So we look at cash as being a risk mitigation tool at this point. There are some strategies that you can engage in that will pay you to agree to buy stocks at lower prices. But apart from that, for most investors, if they haven't participated in this rally, we think staying in cash and waiting for a better entry point makes sense.
Okay. What about treasuries? Would you advise them to put their money there just for safety at least?
Well, treasuries or bank CDs, anything that's insured, it's all basically the same. All of it's paying nothing. So to shop around is kind of not a particularly useful endeavor.
Okay, so how much in cash would you say?
Well, for our portfolios that were fully, have been with us for a while, we're 20% in cash and 80% invested. But for portfolios for new clients we've taken on in the past couple of months, then we're significantly higher in cash than even the 20%.
Wow, okay. And then for the rest of the portfolio, I guess whatever it is, 50 or 60%, where in stocks are you putting it?
Well, we like some of the big European companies that are yielding 4% plus, that do a lot of their business outside of Europe, that are well positioned in the emerging markets. There are some Singapore companies that pay good dividends that we like, and also globally financial exchange operators seem to be at good attractive entry points as well.
So you'd actually get out of the United States?
Yes, we over the last several months, most of our, the ideas that we've been excited about, the investments that we've made that we feel really good about, have pretty much all been outside the U.S.
Now, you said Singapore. Why Singapore?
Well, Singapore has the rule of law. They don't have, they have a very good transparent, lots of transparency around Singapore. There's a lot of information regarding the companies that list there. Basically, they have the same legal system as the English in many regards, and they don't have withholding taxes. And they're at the sort of the center of where all the growth will be over the next 10 or 15 years.
And you're not concerned about the China slowdown and how that might impact the other Asian countries?
Well, the good news is that the China slowdown has meant that companies that have exposure to China have become a lot less expensive. And, in fact, we're finding some companies that are looking very attractive because of the concern over the slowdown in China.
So you'd be picking individual companies, though. You wouldn't just be getting into sort of a broad Chinese index, for example.
Well, what we do is we believe that careful investment selection is more important than random diversification. So, yes, we would buy individual companies, but that's just us.
Okay, Martin Leclerc, stay with us. He's founder of Barrack Yard Advisors. It's difficult to say that when you've a president called Barack. Barrack Yard Advisors, and he's going to come back and join us in a few moments, and we'll get some more thoughts, particularly on those exchange operators. Interested to know more about that. We want to welcome back to the programme now Martin Leclerc. He's founder of Barrack Yard Advisors. They're based in Bryn Mawr in Pennsylvania. And welcome back to the programme, Martin.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Okay, so I want to get into some more of the individual stocks or the types of areas that you are investing in. We mentioned Singapore and some individual stocks in Singapore. You also said global exchange operators, and, you know, I would have thought that maybe they weren't having such a great year because trading volume was lower.
Well, the exchange operators are much more than just stock exchanges. They also typically own derivative exchanges and so forth. And really the way we think of them is being the part of the infrastructure of the global financial industry. And the rationale behind owning them is that if you look at any developed economy, somewhere around 20%, give or take, is comprised of financial services. And there are two issues with financial services for an investor that is something that we're very mindful of. The first one is that typically, particularly banks, need constant access to the capital markets to stay as an ongoing concern. And so when things shut down for them in terms of having access to capital, then it can put a real stress on the system. The second thing, and more importantly, is that typically financial services companies lack a certain amount of transparency. It's really hard to know what's there. And the financial exchange operators not only bring things into the light in terms of finding a price discovery for buyers and sellers, but their business models are also very easy to understand because they're basically toll takers. And a toll taker business is a great business so long as it produces excess cash flow. It tends to be an inflation hedge because they have an infrastructure already built in. And so that's why that's our reasoning behind the exchange operators.
Now, are you steering clear of the U.S. exchange operators then?
No, not necessarily. My compliance people tell me that they don't want me to mention individual names,
yeah.
But certainly to the extent we've added American names to the portfolio in the past several months, that's an area we have looked to.
Okay, and then, you know, they're a little bit related to the banks, but what is your thinking on the banks? I mean, you know, like I say, some of the parts of the business would be related.
Yeah, we're not smart enough to figure out what's behind banks.
I'm not sure anybody is, really.
Sorry?
I'm not sure if anybody is, really.
Well, you know, we know what our limitations are. So we, as a general rule, we just don't go there.
Okay, so Singapore, and where else internationally then?
Well, we like Singapore as just a place because it has rule of law, no withholding tax, and gets you access to lots of Asia. But as well, currently, we like Europe as a general rule. Some European companies are expensive. The big global names like the beautiful companies like L'Oreal, which have great business models and so forth. We wouldn't be buyers at this point because they're trading at very high multiples of earnings, but there are a lot of names in Europe that of good solid companies that pay good dividends that are trading at 10 or 11 times earnings, and that's where we're going right
now.
Yeah,
so Europe is kind of interesting because as much as we talk constantly about the problems and the debt crisis and yields rising, etc., stocks are actually performing extraordinarily well in Europe. The DAX in Germany so far for the year up more than 22%. The Paris CAC, okay, not as well, but it's still up about 8% for the year. Why are European companies doing so well?
Well, the markets, European companies are doing well. The short answer is the emerging markets. They're geographically well located to be closer to where the action is. They, because of their history of colonialism, they tend to know the space better than perhaps some other areas. So they have, they've had businesses there, been doing business in the emerging markets for a long time. And they're, even though Europe is in the news as being a place that's messed up, really what's going on in Europe is Europeans are defining what it is to be a European and what that means fiscally. But at the end of the day, even though they're muddling through, companies that provide basic services and have strong cash flow are still, you know, providing basic services and continuing to generate strong cash flow. So, you know, at the, you know, Europe is going to be with us as a story muddling through probably for a long time, but the stock market has also accommodated us in terms of having some companies there being sold at what we think are, you know, bargain levels.
Yeah, and would you still get in even at this point with the gains that we've seen so far this year?
Limited names. I mean, mm-hmm. I think our universe of European companies we want to own has dropped from about 12 to about 3.
Oh, wow. Okay. So,
and because we have this big rally since May. I mean, the markets have, that's why we're advising people to, you know, be a little bit cautious in here, a little bit, you know, to not rush into buying, because the VIX, which is a measure of volatility, which is a complacency ratio, indicates that complacency is pretty high. I know the individual investor out there is still very fearful. But the markets have moved because of all this induced liquidity by both our central bank as well as the European Central Bank as well as the Chinese Central Bank.
All right. Thank you, Martin Leclerc. We look forward to checking in with you again.